Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this fifth day of December. Wow. This year is coming to an end, folks. And it hasn't been a real good one in a lot of ways, but in other ways, well, we saw Roe v. Wade go down, and that was good. But folks, we're just beginning to fight. We are. Now, tonight we have, well, of course, we have the fearless one, Courageous Craig, on the board.
Good evening, everybody.
And being Monday night from way out there in the backwoods of Missouri, we have the Parson Joe Larson.
That totally woke-free co-host is here, ready to go to work.
Well, we have a lot to talk about tonight. The first thing I'm going to do, though, Joe, right off the bat, is I'm going to give a phone number. This phone number is to the board, the switchboard of Congress, of the U.S. Congress. This number is 202-224-3121. I need all of you folks out there to know 202. 202. 224-3121. 202-225. That's the Senate. Yep. And so, here, this is the Congress, because tomorrow they're going to vote. It went back to the House. House Resolution 8404, which says that marriage can be whatever they want it to be. They are totally against the very first divine institution that God gave us was marriage and the family. And we've got some rhino congressmen, some disgraceful congressmen here. I mean, I am hoping that all of you listening to me will write that number down. Now, only you that believe God's word, the Bible, believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and believe what God said about resisting tyranny, because this is tyranny. This is an assault. This is shaking your fist in the face of God. These people that are doing this, they're literally shaking their rebellious fist in the face of God. Now, if you have higher standards than these people where I'm going to give their names, so I'm going to read them out, these so-called congressmen, if you're better than that, okay, or if you're not, if you're one of the lesser people, maybe God's not really listening, you know. If you're that way, well, then don't do anything. But if you believe in God, if you believe what he says about resistance to tyranny, his obedience to him, if you believe what he says about being obedient. Now, if you've got, first of all, if you've got respect for God and any respect for yourself, You shouldn't have any respect for these people that I'm going to name because they have betrayed you again. And if you don't stand and fight when they betray you, you say, what good is it going to do? Well, let me tell you something. If you don't stand and fight, if you don't stand and fight, then you've disobeyed God. So when I give, I'm going to call their names off for your state. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. When we do that, so have your pen and paper ready, 202-224-3121. First thing in the morning, because they're going to vote on this bill tomorrow morning. So the first thing in the morning, you got to call their offices. You got to call their office and at least tell them you probably won't do any good. But I just want you to know we're so tired of being betrayed. We are so tired of you disrespecting God and country and taking what God, the divine institution of marriage, and making it something dirty. We're just so fed up with it. And I could do this. I could tell you that next time I won't vote for you. I will not vote for you again. And I'm going to remind people, I'm going to keep this article right here, and I'm going to remind people throughout the year here in my state of Ohio, especially those that betrayed us, on this. So here from Ohio. So anyhow, with that, the title of the message was, what was it, Joe?
Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl.
All righty. And we're going to get right into it. You know, men like George Soros, Klaus Schwab, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, well, Bill and Hillary, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, the Pelosis, have all made their fortunes, Joe. They've all made their fortunes off the pain and suffering and death by others. You know, today, Apple, the big Apple Corporation, they're big, they got money, and they're assisting the Chinese Communist Party and persecuting the Chinese people. Apple is selling out the Chinese people like we've been sold out for money, Joe, for money. Apple has become a part of the depopulation program now. So add to that list, Joe, Anthony Fauci. Oh, this guy he has done horrible, horrible things with children and animals. And the heads of Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. And Joe, the bloodiest of all, Planned Predators. Well, you know, the rich, like Soros and Gates and Clintons, you know, they all feel that they are above the law. The law should not apply to them, that they are above the law. People often ask why God allows the wicked to prosper. Well, God, he tells you, he's most merciful. He allows the wicked a little pleasure for a short time, a short season. Even George Soros in his 90s today will have what the Bible describes as a life that lasts as long as a vapor that appears for an instant when it's compared to eternity.
James 4:14, I think.
His pleasures by, he gets his pleasure by hurting other people, George Soros. And you know what? The Bible says hell has opened her mouth wide to swallow those up as the grave. That hell has opened her mouth wide to swallow those up as the grave. So we're going to start today in the Gospel of John chapter 5. So Joe, why don't you read chapter 5, verses 1 through 5.
1 through 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh, as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers, who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on earth, and have been wanton. He has nourished your hearts in the day of slaughter, as in the day of slaughter.
You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. And so, boy, have we seen that happening, Joe. And of course, the biggest thing is abortion. The innocent have been slaughtered, but the elderly in the nursing homes today, and now with the poisonous poke, the jab that they're using to kill off folks, people don't know it. Not only do some of them not resist, they voluntarily take the jab. But anyhow, Joe, these rich people of today, more often than not, you notice how they've got tendencies. They display narcissistic tendencies, very narcissistic tendencies. They fantasize about living forever by means of technology. Now, you know, it used to be just the freezing, the instant freezing, the quick freeze, and cryogenics, and now they're referring to having actually all of their brain kept alive, having their brain kept alive and put into a bionic body at some point. They really believe that they're going to do this, that they have the money to buy the companies and sustain that. I can just see George Soros. But, you know, George don't get it, okay? And so here, their wealth and their power.
Remember who controls life. The scripture said, God said, I am the one who gives life and the one who taketh away, you know.
All right, well, let me ask you this, okay? They say that through cryogenics and that you can live forever. God says it's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment.
Judgment.
Now, does George Soros have enough money to keep him away from the judgment?
No.
Does Bill Gates?
That God cares one whit about.
No. Does Bill Gates?
It's his sin.
Right. Nobody has this. All the money in the world that exists, all the riches, cannot keep them 1 minute out of hell, can they?
No. Well, because everything that exists in heaven and earth belongs to God anyway. He created it, and just as easily as he created it, he can take it away, destroy it.
So their wealth, all of their wealth and their powers blinded their minds to the inevitable, Joe. You know, God's imminent, God's inerrant word cannot fail. It cannot fail. It cannot fail, Joe. God's word cannot fail. And in their rebellious attitudes towards God, well, they've condemned themselves. They have mistreated the poor. They have defrauded them. God has heard the cries of those that have been mistreated. Let me tell you, I can just imagine, you know, how he said that with Cain and Abel, how he told Cain that your brother's blood cries out to me from the grave. Can you imagine the sounds of the blood of 150 million babies make towards God?
No, especially when he can hear every sound, every word, and even every thought we have. I imagine it's quite loud and overwhelming.
Absolutely. Joe, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's go to, start in verse 3 and read me through verse 10.
Start in verse 3, okay. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. from such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. How far do you want me to go?
All the way through 10.
Okay. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
So when he says to Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, what do you think he's referring to when he says the otherwise? If any man otherwise, then
If you teach anything but the gospel and the truth, you are being antichrist. You are.
Here he's talking about a particular subject, and that was preaching for money. In other words, preaching for money. Do we have people out there today preaching for money?
Yes, a workman is worthy of his hire, but when you go out and preach strictly like the Rick Warrens and the Joel Osteens, who are preaching strictly for money and wealth and fame, there's a special place in hell for people like that.
Okay, so if a preacher is called of God, raised up of God, and sent out to God, is he going to preach the gospel whether he gets paid or not?
Yes. It's like we've been doing on the radio, you for,
50 years.
And me for some 30, 35, without pay. We're doing it because we were called.
If a preacher is called and raised up by God, and he's out and he's preaching repentance at the abortion mill, and he gets arrested for preaching the repentance at the abortion mill, and then gets thrown into jail, is he going to preach that same repentance in jail?
Yes. Yes, he'll preach anywhere he can preach, and to whomever is, if that is your target-rich environment, is a jail cell, well, there are people with you and the cells next to you. That's when you go to work.
Do we know people that have been...
The gospel was written by people in prison.
Do we know people that have been arrested for preaching out in front of the abortion mills and then and went to jail and then thrown out of jail for preaching repentance in that jail?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
They weren't happy with some of the people that just kept preaching. They were so happy to get rid of Dr. Keyes, I remember. They were very pleased when he finally left.
Absolutely. I was arrested out here for preaching out in front of the abortion mills. They threw me into jail, and I kept preaching. They threw me between two cages. You had drug dealers and these others, and I preached. And repentance to them. They needed the repentance, and I preached to the cops. And the cops came down and they said, look, just please, just leave, okay? And because they didn't want to hear the word of God. Does the word of God return void?
Never. It accomplishes whatever God intended it to do. We may not always know or understand, but in the end we find out that it always completes his purpose.
So when he talks about, he said he, when he says here, that according to God, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about on questions and strifes of words, where cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, if you're a prosperity preacher, do you have to twist, spin, and pervert the word of God to try to make your point that God's word, the Bible, it says one or two things. It says either place up your treasures here on earth, as Joel Osteen says, live the good life now. As T.D. Jakes says, I want my stuff now. Or as Jesus said, place up your crowns in heaven where moth can't eat it, they can't burn, they can't be stolen.
Nothing can take it away from you.
So in order for them to justify, other than for the prosperity preachers to justify, you know, getting your gain here and now, as he says here, for the love of money is the root of evil, which have some coveted, and after they'd erred from the faith and pierced themselves. But then prior to that, it talks about, he said, supposing that gain is godliness, gain, material things, is godliness, from such withdraw thyself, from such withdraw thyself.
George Soros, he became rich and powerful, and all of a sudden, what? Well, I am a god. I mean, look at what I can do. Look at the power I have. Look at the changes and the things I can do. So apparently a lot of wealth goes to your head pretty bad, but even backing up, when you look there, they talk about the strifes of words and railings and surmising, evil surmisings. That includes all those people that came out with the science falsely called with political correctness and wokeness, all those people that are teaching in the medical field and the colleges and universities that are teaching these horrible things. They are antichrist and can be added right in there with these pastors because they're doing it for the love of money.
When he says here that having food and raiment, let them be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Kenneth Copeland said, he held a Bible up, and he said, you can take this book right here, and you can make God deliver the goods. You can make God deliver, by using his word against him, you can make him deliver the goods. What would you tell Kenneth Copeland?
Kenneth Copeland is a fool. He is stupid. I'm afraid God's a lot smarter than Kenneth Copeland. You notice the scribes and the Pharisees, they all tried to trick Jesus with Scripture. He wrote Scripture. Every word of it is his word. He has knowledge far beyond, and there's no way you're going to force God to do something against his will. It's absurd. I mean, it is so totally stupid. It's like a newborn baby that can cry and squeal and make noises trying to compete with someone from Mensa. You know, I mean, that's even a poor example, but totally ridiculous.
So, Joe, if the Lord says to Kenneth Copeland, today, fool, your soul is required of you, who's going to get all of Kenneth Copeland's two airports and all of his jet planes and all of that? Who's going to get that?
I don't know. I didn't look at his will, but it's sure not going to be Kenneth. He's not going to take a bit of it with him where he's going.
Well, yes, it's not going to be the people he wants to have it. You know, that's the way God deals with that, though. So, anyhow, hang tight. We'll be back right after this with more. On a cold winter's morning, on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now. As I began to preach, she began to speak. She said,
Peter, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've got to give them life.
So I put my arm around her, and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she could see the light. souls were safe for her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You got to know how to use it, not just the pieces. Don't try to walk away, there's no way to run. You had your muscle. While you're able, he's the keeper of your soul. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I will separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners, they all need the Savior. He's the only one to trust in, it's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finished preaching,
the woman was a believer, a baby in her womb. Knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please him, not just to please him. Don't try to walk away. Not just to appease him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the son. You've got to know how to please him. Not just to appease him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count. Please him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the soul.
Boy, is he the keeper of your soul. Boy, is he the keeper of your soul. Man, and that was Miss Julie Daner and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. And that's a true story. That's a very true story, Pastor Joe. That happened. It was years ago, I went down in front of the down in Shaker Boulevard.
Blood Alley.
Blood Alley. It was very, very cold, and the snow was coming down, and it was still dark out. It was early in the morning, and the bloody abortion mill was already in process. And I was standing out front, and I looked way down the sidewalk because the rapid transit runs down in between the two roads there, and I saw this woman coming my way, and behind her was the lights, the street lights. So, and she had this aura of darkness. It was like a dark shadow around her, shadow of death. And as she got closer, she was walking closer, and the snow was coming down. And I said, "You've come here to kill your baby, haven't you?" She stopped and she looked and she said, "Yes." I said, "Why? Why would you want to kill that baby?" And she said, "Because they told me," and this was a white woman, "they told me that my baby would be born without a brain." I said, oh, so you're, the father's a black man then, huh? She says, "Why do you say that?" I said, "Because that's what they tell all the white women that come in here, if their father's a black baby." That was one of the things they did. You know, I had talked to a number of those that had counseled from there. And I said, "Let me ask you this. Okay, do you believe in God?" She said, "Yeah, I do." And I says, "If you were to die right now, right here, today, and you could die on that table in there, where would you spend eternity?" She said, "Well, I'd probably go to hell." And I says, "Is that where you want to go?" She said, "No, no." I said, "What are you going to do about it?" She says, "Well, what do I do about it?" And so I witnessed to her. She said, she got on her knees. She got on her knees in that snow. She got down on her knees in that snow, and she said the sinner's prayer, asked the Lord into her heart. Then when she got up, I asked her, I said, "Now, let me ask you a question. Who's bigger, your problem or God?" She said, God is bigger, isn't he? He's bigger than my problem, isn't he? I said, he's bigger than everything. And so she was crying, and she said, I just thank you for being here today. Thank you. I'm keeping my baby. Well, she did keep the baby, and that came back, it was a couple of years later. She stopped by to show me, and then I heard that the baby years later, this happened a long time ago, that the baby, when he grew up, was a preacher. So that happened some years ago, quite a few years ago, in fact, Joe.
Especially you figure it takes probably 25 years at least from birth to be a preacher. So it was quite a while back, because I remember you telling me the story quite a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
We're giving our age away, aren't we?
Yeah. It's here, let's do this, too. I'm going to ask you folks out there listening to me. I got a notice here. An alert from Faith to Action. Jen Porter, who I've known for many, many years, has sent me this, and she's telling us we need to take action. Now, you heard about this, what they call the Respect of Marriage Act. It's exactly the opposite. What it does is it repeals the Defense of Marriage Act, which is a good act. The Defense of Marriage Act simply says that according to God's word, marriage is between one man and one woman. That's what marriage is. God gave us that divine institution, the very first, and he gave us the definition. Now, these people have come along and they said, well, you know, we really don't care that whole lot about what God does. We think that that we've got the right. We're congressmen. We can soil that somewhat. We're not going to accept what God says. And the people out there, they're not going to stop us. I mean, why? We don't owe them anything, right? Well, you see, here's the question. Your standards. Are your standards higher than that? Are you tired of being betrayed? Are you tired of being betrayed by people, by your Congress especially, and these politicians? If you are, if you're better than to sit down and let them walk on and step on your face, if you've got one, respect for Almighty God, if you've got respect for Almighty God and self-respect for yourself, then you'll stand up on your hind legs and fight. And so here's how you do it. You say, well, I don't know if it's going to do any good. You have not only the right, but you have the obligation to let them know in no uncertain terms, that you are tired of being disrespected, that what they have done.
Pastor, lie to also, because many people promoting this bill, this H.R. 8404, we're talking about how we had to be equal and the Constitution said everybody's equal, and so we have to give these people the equal rights. But they didn't explain that they could have made some other arrangements. They could have given them like a civil union, given them the benefits they wanted without calling it a marriage. They could have given them government benefits and gotten around this. But a lot of people were coerced by lies. There's a lot of lying going on today.
Well, this whole thing, too, it's about forcing people like 501c3 churches and that are 501c3s, they can't do it to us because we're actual church,
right?
To do sodomite marriages. And, you know, most of these pastors don't have the courage to stand up. I mean, the vast majority of them simply don't have the courage to stand up for what's right. And so when
some of them don't see what's coming, I really think a lot of them have their head where the sun doesn't shine and do not see the danger coming.
Well, here's what we're going to do, folks out there. If you have the integrity to stand up and do the right thing, what's it say? James 4:17, for those that know to do good and do it not, to them it is sin. So here's what you do. I'm going to give you the number again, and then I'm going to read the lists here of these congressmen from your state, from each state, You need to call him tomorrow morning and let him know in no uncertain terms. You have the obligation to let him know you're tired of being betrayed and disrespected. Here is the number. It's 202-224-3121. Again, that's 202-224-3121. This is very, very important. And so if you don't stop them, if you don't stand and fight back, then you deserve to have them step on your face. California, Representative Ken Calvert, Mike Garcia, Daryl Issa, Jay Obernolt, and David Valado. You people in California, you need to call, whichever one of those is your congressman, you need to call him.
Especially Daryl Issa. He should know better.
He should know better. In Florida, Kat Kamek. Kat Kamek. Mario Diaz Belar. Mario Diaz Belar. In North Dakota, Kelly Armstrong. Kelly Armstrong. In Ohio, Mike Carey, Anthony Gonzalez, David Joyce, and Mike Turner. Let me say this again. Rhinos, Mike Carey, Anthony Gonzalez, David Joyce, and Mike Turner. I said Mike Turner and David Joyce happened to be speaking out against their anti-Trumpers. Both of them are anti-Trumpers. And unbelievable. You need folks to call them. You people out there listening, you call these people tomorrow. 202-224-3121. Let them know you're tired of being betrayed. You don't want to see what God has given us, the divine institution of marriage, soiled and made into something dirty because these people have no respect for God or country. Here in Oregon, Carlos Jimenez, Brian Mast, Maria Salazar, Michael Waltz. In Idaho, Mike Simpson. In Illinois, Rodney Davis, Adam Kissinger. These are all rhinos. In Iowa, Ashley Henson and Marionette Meeks. Ashley Henson, Marionette Meeks. In Michigan, Peter Meyer, and Fred Upton. In Minnesota, Tom Emmer. In Missouri, Ann Wagoner. In Nebraska, Don Bacon. In New Jersey, Jefferson Van Drew. In New York, Andrew Garbino, Chris Jacobs, John Katko, Nicole Malatakis, Elsie Stefanik, and Lee Zeldin. Cliff Bentz. In Pennsylvania, Brian Fitzpatrick, Dan Mauser, and Scott Perry. In South Carolina, Representative Nancy Mace, Tom Rice. In Texas, Tony Gonzalez. In Utah, John Curtis, Blake Moore, Burgess Owens, and Chris Stewart. In Washington, Dan Newhouse. In Wisconsin, Brian Steele. And in Wyoming, Liz Cheney. And so I'm going to now, those are the congressmen, Phil. These are the 12.
If you have to call Liz Cheney, just pray for her soul.
I'm going to read you again the 12 senators. When you call them, just call them and let them know very clearly how you feel about being betrayed and how they disrespect God in the divine act of marriage. And this number, the Senate, would be 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. And that's Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan. Indiana, Todd Young. Iowa, Joni Ernst. Maine, Susan Collins. Missouri, Roy Blunt. North Carolina, Richard Burr, Tom Tillis. Ohio, Rob Portman. Utah, Mitt Romney. West Virginia, Shelley Moore Capito. And in Wyoming, Cynthia Loomis. If you're better than that, if you're tired of being disrespected, if you're tired of being betrayed, if it makes you righteous indignation to see them shake a rebellious fist in the face of a holy God and tell God that they're going to take his divine institution, something he said was holy, good, and clean, and make it unclean, they were going to soil it, then call them and tell them. Unless you're not better than that. If you're not better than that, then, you know, just go ahead and let them keep stepping on your face. And as long as you do that, you'll deserve it. Right, Joe?
Sure, I'd like to add, you said Roy Blunt in Missouri. This is a case of a good man. In D.C. too long, you get corrupted. And now he's retiring out. He is...
So is Portman.
So is Portman.
Selling his soul.
On the way out. Making money. We've got to have term limits. These people, if they stay too long, they get addicted to power and the money and the fame. And the founding fathers were smart. They were supposed to just do their job and then go home, go back to their life.
Right. Joe, we got to do some lightning rounds. And Joe, you know, we've known all along, I mean, we've been saying this for years. I mean, we've been saying this since 2016, that the FBI has been meeting, not just the FBI, but the CIA too, and James Clapper and the others have been meeting with big tech companies to swing the elections. What they were doing was a violation of the First Amendment. It's a total violation of the First Amendment. To swing elections to Hillary Clinton in 2016 and to Joe Obama Biden in 2020. What they did was illegal, Joe. What they did, because the Biden regime pressured the FBI and others to pressure these people. That is a crime. That's a federal crime, Joe.
Crime. For the Obama administration pressuring back then. It's an old story.
We've known it for a long time. We've been talking about it. Well, now the proof comes out. The whistleblowers coming out of the FBI, they're saying, yeah, that's exactly what we were doing. We were being told and forced to do that. So we're living in a time. See, there's no integrity. No integrity there. So, Joe, if there's no integrity there and they become illegitimate, what the Bible has a name for those, a term for those that sell themselves into evil. What is it, Joe?
And they're called whores.
They've gone a-whoring, huh? It tells you over and over.
And they're down on the level with the cheapest streetwalker in, D.C. streets. But we've got to understand something. These people also, Pastor, took an oath of office, like we took an oath in the military to serve the people, serve and protect. The first sin they've committed is violating an oath that they swore to uphold. And so we're watching this corruption just flow through our government, you know, like running water.
Let me ask you, though, Joe. When they say that and they take that oath, who do they take the oath to?
To God.
To God. Right, Joe. No.
And so the first thing they do is defile God, right?
Do you think God remembers that, Joe? He's got a good memory, don't he?
He cannot forget.
All righty. And so that's exactly right.
We know that this new dump that Twitter is making, we're seeing what happened. To make a long story very short, the FBI came out and was playing a game, and they warned that there was a potential hack-and-leak operation involving Hunter Biden, and this would be coming out. They did it just before the New York Post story, about the Biden laptop. So they knew about it. They knew that the Post was getting ready to do this story. They laid the groundwork for this lie. And again, they didn't tell a perfect lie, but they told enough to deceive. And one of the big people behind everything, his name is James Baker. He was the former FBI general counsel. He is the one who leaked Hillary's Trump dossier story out there. And he left the FBI kind of with some shady dealings. And then he became the attorney for Twitter. And he's the one that was warning all the employees there, oh, there's this warned about this hacked document. Might not be true. Better be careful. So this man is one of those that he needs to be prayed for his soul. He's all his entire career, he has deceived, lied, and harmed America. And if this is the example of the kind of people that head our CIA, FBI, some of the organizations, we have probably as corrupt a government as Russia, as China right now. Only in America, everybody's just, well, most places they've sold out their country for money. The rich Russian oligarchs, the rich Chinese, all those people who seem to be all over the world in power are very rich, and the richer they get, the more corrupt they get, the more power they have, the more power they want. It's the oldest story in the book.
All right, so when we pray for them, how do we pray for them, Joe?
Repent or perish. They need to repent or they will perish.
Absolutely. You always pray for them. Do we want even the worst, even George Soros, do we want to see him go to hell?
No. God says he wants no one, so we don't want to defy what God has already made quite clear. He wants no one to suffer the torment of hell. He doesn't put anybody there. They put themselves there.
That's exactly right. Hey, George Soros is, and I truly believe there's a special hot place in hell for him. All right, now, let's hit a couple of things very quickly, and that is to, in Holland, Holland just banned electric cars. Why do you think they banned electric cars?
Well, they're running short of power. You see, Europe tried to do the green energy thing, and when Russia shut off the pipeline, the natural gas, they were dumb enough to let an enemy supply them the energy they needed. They're facing a bitter cold winter with a shortage of fossil fuel, oil, coal, natural gas, and so now they're having to conserve every bit of power they can. They're scrambling, they're cutting the forest down for firewood. It's a desperate situation.
Let me ask you this. Which uses the most amount of energy, a tank full of gas, or the amount of energy used to charge the batteries of those cars to take you as far as a tank full of gas? Which uses the most amount of energy?
Right now, it's the electric vehicle because of the tremendous energy expended to make the batteries to produce the car. It's far less efficient than the standard gas or diesel engines we have.
So we use much more energy in charging, providing the electricity, than we do in driving the car.
Exactly. And what they're doing is they're shutting down all the coal plants, and they're stopping the natural gas. They're not building nuclear plants. They're going to rely on solar, which isn't working well, and wind. And what they're doing is putting the whole world in a bind, more dependence on electricity and less electricity being able to be produced. It's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. It's going to cause a lot more harm than good right now.
That's not real smart, is it? All righty.
Destructive.
Okay. Now, there's a guy, well, in Germany, bans farms from using fertilizer. How smart is that, Joe?
Well, if we recall, Sri Lanka was banning the nitrogen fertilizer. The country went totally green, and the crops failed. The country went into starvation. The starving people revolted, drove the government away, and the entire economy of Sri Lanka collapsed. And so now different governments in Europe are all following the, quote, European Union mandate to go green. And they're not totally stopping all of the nitrogen fertilizer, but they're cutting it down enough that there'll be about half the food production throughout the entire European Union than last year. And they're already, the UN is already predicting a worldwide food shortage. So what do? We make it even worse. It's just brilliant, isn't it? Absolutely brilliant. We
take absolutely.
We make it worse.
It's a planned catastrophe. It's a very planned catastrophe.
They want to get rid of people. They want to destroy economies so they'd be totally dependent on a government. This is all planned. It's part of the push for the one world order that people like George Soros and Klaus Schwab are all behind this. And this nation has been being divided. Rich against the poor, they're getting rid of the middle class. There'll be a ruling class, and there'll be all the little poor peons to serve them, to serve their food, to plow their fields, to cut their wood, to, you know, haul their water, so to speak. I'm using very plain terms, but that's what's ending up, a very small group of rich people.
In Germany right now, Joe, in Germany, they're tearing down their fields of solar panels, and they're digging coal mines, Joe, because guess what? The solar panels are falling apart, and they don't produce enough energy.
But, right, and they're also cutting down all the wood they can to prepare, because at least they really remember in the old days you could live with a wood stove and a fire would keep you from dying in the winter.
Well, a lot of people around where I live have wood stoves now.
Here, almost everybody I know has a wood stove, and a lot of them, that's the only way they heat their home all winter.
All right, I would suggest for folks out there listening to us, wherever you are, it's going to be a very tough winter. It's going to be a cold, dark winter. I would suggest you stock up. I would suggest that you would stock up and have some food, and stock up on things like food, water, medicine, toilet paper, things like that, and coffee too. Coffee is one of those things that you can really use for barter, because when people will spend $5 a cup if they have to when they really want it. And so I would definitely, folks, I would definitely stock up. And we're seeing, Joe, up here, we're seeing that happening. And I would encourage you to go to the mom and pop stores, not Walmart, not Target. And we're going to a break.
We've got a real good reason to add Walmart to that. Can I throw it in? Walmart, we found out the Walton family is giving millions of dollars to the LGBTQ whatever causes, including drag shows for children. It's Walton's daughter, Alice Walton, and grandson, Tom Walton, along with his wife, they're spearheading. They're giving huge amounts of money from their family foundation to the Arkansas Advancement Fund for gays and lesbians and all this. And they've got a statewide $1 million fund giving grants all over the place. And
Sam Walton, Joe, would be rolling in his grave. Sam Walton would be rolling in his grave. And they also gave $300 million to Black Lives Matter. Folks, if you have, if your standards, it depends on where your standards are. I avoid it. I don't go there. Be right back after this with more. Don't go away. More to come. A lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio,
4465. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.